This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I sound like I have plenty of energy today, don't I, Nicole? I don't sound like I've lost a half a step today. Do I?
No, I don't believe so. Sound pretty energized.
I feel energized, but I'm telling you, I had an exhausting weekend, man. I always like to have one or two days where I do nothing. I like days where I do nothing. They're good. They're healthy. My wife can't do nothing. My wife always has to do something. So she always, on days off, she has a big, long list of things she's going to do. And then she just starts ticking them off. Boom, boom, boom. I like days where I do nothing. But on Friday night, we went with a couple to our friend Mauro at Asagio, downtown Seattle. And he is the restaurateur's restaurateur. Nobody was born to own a restaurant like Mauro. He's just the man. So that was lovely fun. I'll tell you something funny, too. So our waiter was really good, and I was torn between two dishes, and they're both very politically incorrect, so maybe I shouldn't say what the two dishes were. That was veal, okay? It was veal. But the veal, it was already dead, so don't blame me. Anyway, I said to the waiter, what should I do? Should I do the veal parmesan or the saltimbocco? And he goes, oh, the saltimbocco. And I said, why? Just tell me why. And he goes, it's a butter sauce. It's fantastic. I said, does that come with the pasta? And he said, mashed potatoes. Oh, boom. Saltimbocco with mashed potatoes. So I go, that's it. And then Mauro came walking by our table about 2 minutes later. I said, hey, Mauro, just want you to verify what your waiter told me. I had to choose between veal and saltimbocco. He goes, oh, no question. You get the, I can't do Italian accents. But he goes, the veal. I said, what? Your guy told me the opposite. He goes, I changed it for you. And he goes back into the kitchen, and he canceled my order. I didn't even get a chance to say, okay. And he went back. He changed my order, and they brought me the Parmesan. And I am here to tell you, it was fantastic.
Well, good.
Oh, man. Yeah. Don't ever doubt Mauro. And then on Saturday, we went to a friend's house. We didn't get home till after 1. I don't remember the last time I socialized till after 1 a.m. And then yesterday, we had some people over for dinner here. And so I thought I was kind of dreading being so busy this weekend. And as you know, Nicole, I do this stuff all the time. Like, I don't want to go to London. It's just going to be long flights, and it's not going to be that much fun. And then we go to London, have just one of the all-time great trips ever.
Which is almost exactly a year ago. All those memories are popping up in my
memories. London wasn't a year
ago. I mean, 3 years ago.
Yeah,
3 years ago.
3 years ago. Yeah. And I had a blast. And then this weekend, I thought, oh, I'm going to be just worn out if I have something on the calendar every night. And it was fantastic. I got to start living is what I decided. I got to stop this shut-in stuff.
Yeah, you always say that you like a down day, but then if you have a couple down days, I feel like you get kind of down. So I think it's better that you stay busy.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you have it. So, better get into the Fast 15 here, because I've yapped on long enough. By the way, coming up at 1:30 this afternoon, there was a very funny real estate listing about a guy in Seattle who's selling his house because under Jenny Durkin and Jay Inslee, we've turned into a communist state, and he has to pay if his renters, you know, if he raises his rent, he has to give the renters 6 months if they move someplace else. which would be $12,000. He said, it's communist. You don't own your property anymore. And the homeowner happens to be an old friend of our radio show, attorney Lincoln Beauregard, who has one of the all-time greatest names in the history of mankind. So Lincoln Beauregard will come on and explain why owning a house in Seattle is like being under communist rule. We will do that coming up right after the 1:30 news here. Okay, Fast 15 now. We told you last week about a woman. She's a volunteer for some social justice equity team down in Maple Valley, the Tahoma School District. Her name is Alicia Bush, and we've got a couple of updates from what we told you about her last week. But here's a little bit of what she said in a series of videos that she made.
You too can achieve the American dream if only you work hard enough to conform to society's norms. And by society, I mean white supremacy. And if you assimilate enough, and if you reject all of your non-American culture, history, background, generational trauma, and just get over it so that you again can achieve the American dream, which is white supremacy. Isn't it lovely over here where you dehumanize yourself to the point where you are no longer recognizable? Not only you're not recognizable, but you have no culture of your own because it's lost to the American dream.
And she made clear in a bunch of her videos that she really just hates white people. And she talked about her grandma's funeral, and here's a little bit of that.
My beautiful grandmother passed away at 97 years old in February 2020. We were supposed to celebrate her originally in April of 2020, and everything got shut down. Things were looking good this summer. People were starting to get vaccinated, so my family rescheduled it to this weekend. And then you, who don't think it's your responsibility to wear a piece of cloth on your face and get a vaccine, makes it so that my family cannot celebrate my grandmother for another year. And I want to tell you that that brings up a kind of rage in me. That's only happened a few times in my life. And it all comes down to this. You f***ing colonizers. You mother f***ing colonizers. Think you can take and do whatever the f*** you want. And anything that gets in your way is inconsequential to you. Because it does not affect you. And this is why you're feeling persecuted right now. It's because it's the first time in your existence that you're experiencing any sort of accountability. And it's not going to stop until you dismantle the systems that you benefit from that result in the rest of us being harmed. Because of you, my beautiful grandmother has not been put to rest. My beautiful grandmother is not able to be celebrated by her family. Wear the mask, get the vaccine, and stop being destructive, amoral colonizers.
Okay, so it's Alicia Bush, who's on the Tahoma School District Equity Team, and she made it clear in many of these videos that she just despises white people. And so what's troubling is there were parents who brought up her videos to the school last summer, and as you can hear, the videos are just filled with vile language, MFing people, and how much she bleep and hates white people and all of that. But yeah, July 23rd, one mom emailed the district, said her behavior and gaslighting parents is unacceptable. We can no longer reach out to the equity committee for valid information without accused of being racist, anti-CRT. So they removed her from this racial equity team. But here's what's really weird. She also is working on managing the campaign for a local school board candidate named Haley Pendergraft. And Pendergraft defends Alicia Bush. She said, Alicia represents a person who has different lived experience than I do. There's great value in that. She says her views are valuable. And, man, in different videos, you should hear what this Alicia Bush had to say about her campaign opponent. Because that was also vile. So, my point is, I think that people who talk with such crude vulgarities just sound ridiculous. And if that person is in a position that works with children, with kids, that's unproductive. Because kids already have crude enough language. Some kids never use language like that. But to say that she should campaign manage a school board candidate, that she should, you know, she's now been let go from the district equity team because she just hates a large number of people. So that's the update, though. The school board campaign that Alicia Bush is managing is still being managed by Alicia Bush, which makes me really question the wisdom of Haley Pendergraft, the woman who wants to be the school board member. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, Obama's former defense secretary, Robert Gates. He's the one who said Joe Biden has gotten every foreign policy decision wrong for 40 years. He said that years ago. He was on CBS 60 Minutes this weekend, and he says, yeah, it's still true. And remember, this was the Obama-Biden administration defense secretary. And he says, yeah, Joe Biden is still getting everything wrong.
You wrote Joe Biden was a man of integrity. Still, I think he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades.
I think he's gotten a lot wrong.
But do you think he made a mistake in Afghanistan in the way he handled the withdrawal?
Yes. It probably did not need to have turned out that way.
Yeah, it's everything Joe Biden has done has been wrong for the country, for everything. And now even his media is turning on Joe Biden. MSNBC, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, they tried everything they could to get Joe Biden elected. But now that the economy is in shambles, they cannot keep covering for this guy.
Products aren't just harder to get, but more expensive. Inflation at a 13-year high. Prices for beef and bacon, used cars, gas, even furniture, all up double digits. The Social Security Administration announcing its largest cost of living adjustment in nearly 40 years.
Have you ever seen a backlog like this ever?
Never. We've never seen anything like this.
Yeah. Well, that's the way, because everything woke turns to bleep. And this economy is in horrible condition right now. And there's just no other way. I mean, even the media that wants to bolster Joe Biden and his numbers. But you look at the latest poll numbers, and they are an absolute disaster for the president of the United States of America. One other gaffe. Well, Sean, did we tell you we're going to have a cancel culture update in about 2 minutes here?
I'm ready.
Okay. One other gaffe. Joe Biden, over the weekend, he was talking about his friend, Senator Chris Dodd, and he said the way you know he's a decent man is how he treats a waitress. He says that's how you can tell how decent a person is.
You know what my measure is? People who tell me they care about people and then disrespect a waitress or a waiter. People who tell me they care about how, in fact, people are entitled to be treated with dignity and walk by someone at a shoe side stand and suddenly say hello. People who do not do the just simply decent things for ordinary people. That's the real measure.
So Joe Biden says, you know that Chris Dodd's a good man because he would never disrespect a waitress. There's only one problem about all of this. Chris Dodd, according to GQ magazine, had a sickening action at a restaurant years back in Washington, D.C. Senators asked for a waitress named Carla Gaviglio while their dates were in the bathroom. And when she arrived, the 6'2", 225-pound Ted Kennedy grabbed the 5'3", 103-pound waitress, threw her on a table, and then Chris Dodd joined in. And they put her in what they called a waitress sandwich. So, hey, Joe, if you're telling us the way to judge the character of a person is that they would never disrespect a waitress, maybe, just maybe, pick somebody who has not sexually assaulted a waitress. And you'd be on a little better moral ground for the claims that you are making. All right, and finally, in our Fastest 15, we do have a cancel culture update.
This is your cancel culture update.
Yeah, we've told you last week that Superman's son, the son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane, is going to be in the new DC Comics, is going to be bisexual. And now we are finding out more. Superman is also changing the motto. The motto that, oh man, it was so uplifting to hear.
It's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
And a waving flag appeared behind Superman's truth, justice, and the American way. Well, woke people hate America. And so Superman's motto will now be truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. You cannot say American way with pride, of course, because that would indicate you love a country that is a colonizer, that stands for nothing but hatred and evil capitalism. So that's Superman now. Truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. Yeah, we don't want to start teaching kids that America's okay not to hate, right? That is, oh, wait a second. I almost didn't do the second part of this. So, Superman, in my view at least, I'll just cancel the thing that's being canceled. The American way, you have been
canceled. This has been a cancel culture update. Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, a local man that we know well, attorney Lincoln Beauregard, has been on the show many times. He's selling a house, and the reason, according to his Redfin listing, is because he doesn't really own the house in Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin's communist Seattle. We'll see what he means about that coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, these are interesting times in the real estate market all around here. And I've told you how hard it is for my three daughters who are trying to find houses that they can afford. It's almost impossible these days. There was a listing that was brought to our attention on Redfin. And the person who listed the home wrote, "Since Jenny Durkin and Jay Inslee have absorbed my rental house into the collective community ownership, and I'm not allowed to take it back, I'm selling it with my tenant in it. If anyone's interested, 10 years of rent with the same renter. Personally, I'm not interested in being a landlord in our little communist corner of the country anymore when you no longer really own the property you paid for and took the risk to own. Now, the person who listed this happens to be an old friend of our radio show, attorney Lincoln Beauregard, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Lincoln, it's good to talk to you again.
Dory, thanks for having me on.
What was your motivation for what you crafted there with the your house listing?
Well, basically, I don't want to be a landlord in Seattle anymore because I just think the city's gone wacky. You know, the COVID thing, that's questionable, but they're passing laws where I can't even say how much I'm going to rent my property for. I have no recourse if my, you know, tenants don't pay rent, and I just don't want to be a landlord here anymore. I don't want to provide housing to people. I don't want to be part of it.
Well, you say the COVID thing's a little wacky. Isn't it much worse than that? Because when Joe Biden tried to do it at the federal level, the Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional. I'm still trying to understand, and you're an attorney, Lincoln, how is this not unconstitutional when the government takes your property and forces you, in the case of the people who are on the eviction moratorium, essentially they're forcing you to give away your private property for an indeterminate amount of time? How is that legal?
Well, you know, I can tell you as a lawyer, I haven't studied the opinion you're talking about, but I'm aware of it. What I can tell you is it sure feels unconstitutional because one day I own the house and now I don't. I have no real power over how I use my property, and the laws are just getting worse. And, you know, there's probably a contradiction between the Supreme Court ruling and what they're doing locally. But, you know, the general, you know, popular type policymaking here probably lends to the conclusion just keep my house as long as they can. So I decided to sell it.
Yeah.
With my tenants in it, and for a big discount.
You're right. Understood. I'll get to that. But I'm going to read to you from the Constitution of the United States of America, the Fifth Amendment, and it says all the things that government can't do, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And that's what essentially Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin are doing. They are taking your private property. They're saying that because there's this emergency, which gives Jay Inslee extra constitutional powers, apparently. But because of that, they're taking people's private property, telling you that you can't collect rent, but you still have to pay your property taxes and your utilities and your mortgages and all of that. So I will never understand how all of this works with when we have the Fifth Amendment protections we do.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. And it's really puzzling when you're a landlord and every headline says that there's massive amounts of jobs available and people should be able to work and, you know, bank accounts are at all time high, but then they don't have to, I can't collect rent. I have no recourse. And it's really frustrating.
What part of the city is your house in?
The one that's up pending for sale is in West Seattle.
Okay. All right. So elaborate more on the communist enclave. You say you've had a renter for 10 years. Have they been paying their rent?
Yeah, they've been okay tenants over 10 years. Sometimes my rule with them is they have to pay me 12 times a year, but it doesn't have to be every month. So sometimes they might miss a month, but they've been very honorable people and always made up for it. And that might be their lives. So I don't have any animus towards them. I just have an animus towards the fact that they're just I don't own my own property anymore. Why would I leave? Why would I try and make a house available to I think you said, you know, your relatives or whoever, under the terms where I don't really even have any control. So, you know, that's my problem.
Okay. Besides the eviction moratorium, are there other things that the city is doing that have you upset?
Yeah. I mean, it's more about the other things that they're doing. If you look at, you know, Kashama Sawant is now passed a law that says I can't raise the rent without giving people some massive warning. And I know there's regulations that I think I have to help people move and I can't choose who's going to live in my own house. And so why in the world would I want to have invested money in a house that I can't control when I can take it and put it in the stock market and do better?
Yeah. 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 This help them move. It's not just that you have to help them move. How much do you rent this house for a month?
This is $2,000 a month for a three-bedroom, small rambler house.
Okay. I believe, Lincoln, that the legislation that's been proposed is you have to give notice before you can evict somebody, and then you have to give them 6 months' rent as moving expenses. You'd have to drop $12,000 lump sum into this person's hand when they leave your house, which is just crazy to me.
As a landlord, you learn the place where you lose the most money is turnover. And so you can't, I mean, then they're just adding to that cost, which makes it almost unprofitable. And it's just not feasible. And I never see any appreciation for the fact that this is somebody's property. This is my property, and I can't control it.
Well, and so what's going to happen now? You say offer is pending, and this was one of the more affordable houses in Seattle, it sounds like. You originally listed it for $495, is that right?
I listed it for $495, and if you did a Google Redfin search, I think it was the lowest price three-bedroom house in Seattle proper when I listed it, or just about.
Okay, and then you had to drop the price?
Yeah, I mean, because I can't ask my tenant to leave, but I can legally sell it with them in it. So what I did is I told my realtors, Ron and Don, I told them drop the property, and I dropped it by 10% more. So I'd already listed it probably for 95% of value, knowing that it was not going to be as marketable with a tenant. Yeah. And then I dropped it another 10% and sold it the next day to a developer who's going to let my tenant stay in it. So I'm in compliance with the law, but I end up eating $50,000 or $100,000 just because of the laws they've enacted.
Okay, but is your tenant going to, or your buyer, I mean, if they're a developer, they're probably either going to knock it down or flip it, don't you think?
I'm sure they have a long-term vision for it, and I don't know what it is, but the limited information I know about them is they take rentals, I think they improve them, and then they keep renting them, but I don't know much about them.
Okay, but I mean, the reason I ask that is if they have designs on raising the rent, first of all, the city might not let them, which is why they, you know, may sell it to somebody who wants to just knock it down and build a, you know, $1 million, $1.5 million house. And what the city is doing, and what, you know, Jay Inslee is doing with all of these laws, is they are making it tougher and tougher for the working class, the middle class people to find any place to live, because they put these restrictions on you. You say, that's it, I'm done being a landlord. And then the buyers either knock it down or, like I said, flip it. And all of a sudden, the market gets squeezed of available inventory, and that drives rents up. It's like these people, Lincoln, don't have even the slimmest grasp of basic economics.
Well, it is, and my house is a perfect example of that. You know, I told you the rent's $2,000. Yep. It's, according to all my data, it's rented for probably 10% below market. And I'm a believer in trying to, one, the people have been very nice. I don't want to overcharge them, and I don't want to cause turnover. So now what's happened in my example, and maybe others, is that I'm selling my house for below market. I'm taking a hit. And the people who have a vision for this investment property, they're going to do something to increase the value. And eventually the nice, hardworking family in that house that's paying $2,000 a month isn't going to be able to afford what they're going to want to charge them. And I'm pretty sure pretty short order. So they've lost, I've lost. And the only people who've won are the people who can feel good about enacting these laws that aren't subject to them.
Yeah, and their laws are just crafted in a fantasy land where reality has no connection. Well, this is interesting. I mean, I'm really glad you posted what you posted and are telling the story, because I think more people need to be aware of what's happening, because ultimately the politicians who claim to be helping the little guy are putting the squeeze on the little guy, and they're doing exactly the opposite of what they claim to be doing, and that's making it tougher and tougher for the working class people to have a place to live.
It's just all too true, and I wish that they'd see the big picture of it and not just do the feel-good thing in the moment for a politician, because yep, there's true consequences to people like me and to the tenants that in the long term I don't think are good for anybody.
I agree with you. All right. Lincoln Beauregard, attorney, good old friend of our show. And he sold his Redfin house because he couldn't handle it in the, what he called, the communist enclave of Seattle anymore. Lincoln, it's always great to talk to you.
Dory, I enjoy being on your show. It's wonderfully entertaining and informative.
Thank you, sir. All right, all my best to you.
All right, talk to you soon.
You got it. Okay, what do you think about all this? You can text me. Our new text line is 888-973-CHIRO. That's 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Told you earlier, Joe Biden is hitting some low lows in public approval, and where he's doing the worst is with independent voters. He has just completely lost independent voters, which of course are crucial swing voters in almost any candidate for national office. And one reason is because people do recognize that the economy is in horrible condition right now. My wife was telling me that It was eerie, she said, to go into Costco yesterday. She had to make just a quick stop. And she said the number of store shelves that were empty was pretty eerie for her to see. And we're seeing this all across the country now. And last week, they said that we might not be able to get Christmas presents. But there's a much bigger problem. And I hate to delve into the realm of wonky because I know that I'm more fascinated with numbers than most people. And I don't want to bore you with my minutia fascination with numbers. And so I'm not going to go get into the minutia. But you simply cannot drop trillions and trillions more in spending and say it costs zero and think that that's a good thing for this economy. When you say that nobody under 400 grand will pay a penny in extra taxes, well, every one of those companies that he's taxing is going to pass it on to the consumers. And I'll tell you something else. Gas is up 41%. Natural gas is up to a seven-year high. Oil, heating oil, seven-year high. The cost of heating your home this winter is going to cost 41% more than it cost you last year, identical to the cost of gasoline having gone up. And this was my biggest complaint about Donald Trump. He showed no interest in what I would prefer, and that's a balanced budget. The radical concept that you don't spend more than what you take in. And I should never have expected that Donald Trump would, because he was a businessman who built so much of his business empire on debt and strategic bankruptcies. And so we need somebody who's going to get things under control. And I'm going to tell you why. So right now, our nation's deficit, our debt is almost $29 trillion. And Joe Biden wants to take the recklessness of Donald Trump and shift it into hyperdrive. $29 trillion. But there is a number that nobody else talks about, and that is Social Security. And 26 years ago, my first year on the air, I was 33 years old, and I said, I've been paying into Social Security for about 12 years now. I would gladly forego every penny that I've put in if government would allow me to opt out. I would like to take all this money that's withheld from my paycheck and just put it into a Vanguard, S&P 500 index fund, and you would have a fortune more than what you get through Social Security. But there's a number. Everybody says our debt is $29 trillion. No, it's more like $69 trillion. Because right now, we have $40 trillion that we have to pay in Social Security without any accounting for how that money's going to come in or where that money's going to come from. How much is $40 trillion? If you take all the money in the world, and I mean it literally, if you take every single dollar and other currencies in the circulation, combined it with every single person's savings and checking and investment accounts, it would not come up to $40 trillion. And that's what the United States owes. If we don't stop this soon, really bad things are going to happen. Okay, quick timeout. Big lead to two. New stuff for you coming up next.